How are y'all? I'm glad you're here. It's really tough to teach when nobody shows up. I have had that happen. I had the Hatch Chamber of Commerce. I had two, and one of them was the next speaker. Anyway, my reputation preceded me. So anyway, I am glad you're here. I hope that you're getting some benefit from this current study, because you are some of the few, I think, that might have a clue, more than a clue, of what's going on in the world today as you hear your news. I want to tell you that you are not hearing the truth. So you need to understand what we're studying in order to know the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free," absolutely. And we have the Spirit of truth indwelling us. And so I want you to be aware of what's going on and why what's going on is happening. I find it exciting times. Rosh Hashanah is Wednesday, for you who don't know. I would love to leave here on Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to hear the Lord descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God saying, "Come up here," and immediately in the Spirit and be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since I've said that, and you think about Wednesday, you'll be more alert. Anyway, right? Absolutely. I file my... Yes, Rich. All go at one time, huh? Yeah. Anyway, I am glad you're here. We are studying why I believe, I guess is the best way to put it, that Islam is the final world kingdom that God prophesied over 2,600 years ago. Particularly in the book of Daniel, God gave a prophecy to a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, or God gave a vision, a dream to a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave a test to his wise men and said, "Tell me what I dreamed and what the meaning is." And no one could do it except, as they said, a man whom the Spirit of the gods dwells in. And that was Daniel. Daniel is my judge. And so we're going to look at it. I'll take you through quickly through the first 12 reasons why, in case you haven't been here, so you can evaluate them on your own. But number one is the final world kingdom will consist of 11 kings and kingdoms who are not homogenous and don't get along well. In other words, they're not one kingdom like Babylon was, or one kingdom like the Persians were, or one kingdom like the Greeks. They are 10 different kingdoms that come together, and then there's 11th kingdom, which is ruled over, 11th king, which is the Antichrist who rules over them. That's according to Daniel 2, 7, and Revelation 13 and 17. Number two, the final world kingdom will rule the world primarily in its relationship to the area surrounding Israel. Number three, the final kingdom is a world kingdom that has existed in the past. The ones that have existed in the past are Egypt and Assyria, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians. That's four. Romans, the Greek, Romans, the, I missed one. No, I missed two. I got the Ottomans, number seven. Egypt, Assyria, Babylons, Medes and Persians, Greeks, Romans, the Ottoman Empire. Did I get them all? Seven. It's going to be one of those seven. So pick a kingdom. And the number four, the final kingdom will come about through war and a conquering messianic figure with the help of a foreign god. The foreign god is Satan himself, who could also be Allah, but we do know that it will come about through the Antichrist, who will ride forth on the white horse to conquer. Number five, the final world kingdom will encompass three other prior world kingdoms, which are identified in Revelation 13 as Greece, which we know it to be related to Syria today, in that general area of the globe, Babylon, which is Iraq, and Persia, the Medes and the Persians, which are the Kurds in Iran today. Those three kingdoms will blend into this final world kingdom. I think by elimination, that means it's not one of those three kingdoms, so you're left with four, which would be Egypt, Rome, Assyria, and the Ottoman Empire. Those are your four choices. by elimination. Number six, the final world kingdom is an enemy of Israel, the Jews, and Christians, and desires their destruction. Desires that sound familiar with today? Absolutely. Number seven, the false prophet will force people to worship the Antichrist. And in Israel, they believe that ultimately will be Jesus who will come back and will tell the world he is not the Son of God. He did not die for our sins. In fact, he didn't die at all, according to Islam. And he's going to come back to kill everybody who doesn't worship Allah. Number eight, the means of the capital punishment in the tribulation period is beheading. Revelation chapter 20. Number nine, the Antichrist is called the King of Babylon, which is where? Iraq. The Assyrian, where is that? Try ISIS, that area, is the ancient Assyrian Empire. And Gog and Ezekiel, all countries which are now in the Middle East, the point being that Islam will encompass those today. Number ten, nations which are prophetically judged in the Old Testament as enemies of Israel are nations that exist today and are all Islamic, and I identified 12 of them for you. Remember, the final world kingdom is how many? 11. Of the 12 that I gave you, two of them are the same kingdom today. That's Ammon and Jordan, and Moab are the nation of Jordan today. So that leaves you with 11 that are judged. Number 11, the Antichrist will blaspheme God continuously. He will claim that Jehovah is evil and that Jesus did not die for our sins and all that blasphemous talk. Number 12, we studied last week, the Antichrist will use deception as a way of dealing with people. We'll talk a little more about that today, but we spent a whole hour or 45 minutes on that last week on the reality that within Islam, taqiyya and kitman, two concepts, either to omit the truth or to lie about the truth is perfectly acceptable. And I don't know if I explained that to you, but the reason that lying is okay is to advance your wealth, protect yourself if you're in harm, to advance the cause of Islam. All right? And it's fine to lie and to cheat if, in fact, you can put your enemy at a disadvantage. It's the only religion in the world that I know of, unless you know something different, that says that lying is a method of operating in order to achieve a victory for Allah. It's an insidious thing. By the way, do you know why it's important and why they don't think lying is wrong? I don't know if I told you this last week. Honor is more important than the truth. In other words, you should never be dishonored as a Muslim. Number 13 in today's lesson, the Antichrist will change the laws. The Antichrist will change the laws. Well, what does that mean? I struggled with this one for years. I read it. Here it is in Daniel 7. He will speak out against the Most High, that's blasphemy, and wear down the saints of the Highest One, will kill the believers, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. So what is his goal? Change. Change what? The times and the law. I've looked at that for 40 years and struggled with what that is. Doug? Well, I mean, they are rewriting our history books for sure to distort what they say. So I struggle with that. The law in the Bible, God's law, is it good? Psalm 19 says the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Is it a good thing? Absolutely. Scripture says in Romans 7, so then the law is holy. That means it's separate, distinct, special. And the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Galatians 3 says, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. So part of the purpose of the law is to do what? To bring us ultimately to need a Savior. Why? Because you all are so good about keeping it. Right? You never break it. You're perfect in the way you keep God's law. Well, the reality is you can't be perfect. The reality is you can never measure up to God's law. And those who think they are or do are grossly deceived, probably more than anybody else. We all fail in our ability to keep the law. And in fact, once you become a believer in Christ, the law is no longer your master. You are no longer under the law. You're under a higher law. And the higher law is the royal law talked about by James, which says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the higher law. Now, Bible Knowledge Commentary says this, explaining that verse. He will introduce an entirely new era in which he will abandon all previous laws and institute his own system. And I believe that's true. John Walford, in his book, Daniel, the Key to Prophetic Revelation, said he will also attempt to change the times and the law, that is to change times of religious observances and religious traditions such as characterize those who worship God. I believe Dr. Walford is talking about the times. For example, there are certain feast times that are set and so forth. If you were to look at Islam, they don't celebrate the seven feasts of Israel. They celebrate Ramadan and other festivals. All right, but here's where I think is the truth. I really believe when it talks about changing the laws, that Islam, if it were to prevail over the world, what would they do? They would inflect us with Sharia law. Are they making efforts to do that? Absolutely. Wasn't it Oklahoma that had a... Who told me they just went to Oklahoma? I know Phyllis did. Somebody else. Didn't they have a law in Oklahoma that they passed that Sharia law could not be a part of the law? In Great Britain, okay? All right. You don't... When I told you at the beginning that you really don't understand that you're not being told the truth, I'm going to try to illustrate that in my discussion because the rest of the lesson today is going to be based on what Islamic law says under Sharia and what it's all about and where it's headed and how it contrasts to our law, God's law, in our society. The United States of America was formed on Judeo-Christian principles. And primarily, our laws were written consistent with biblical laws. We didn't go out and ask Muhammad what he thought we ought to put in it, or anybody else. It was based on the Bible itself. Well, this quote is from the Islamic Supreme Council. Would they have any weight? I guess they call themselves supreme. Islamic civilization since the time of Prophet Muhammad until now is firmly founded on the concept of the rule of law. That's a good thing. We hear that all the time on TV, is whether or not certain people are following the rule of law. For that reason, the law is published and known, and citizens and courts expect to uphold it. In addition, Muslim citizens must adhere to Islamic law. Is that an option? This is important. Can they say, well, we're not going to follow Islamic law, we're going to follow United States law? Or we're going to follow the laws of England or Germany or France. In addition, Muslim citizens must adhere to Islamic law, Sharia law. If a Muslim citizen commits a religious violation, he is judged according to Islamic law. A non-Muslim citizen is judged in religious issues by the laws of his home faith. So if you're a Christian, you're judged by our laws. If you're a Muslim, you must be judged by Sharia. Okay? Now, this is from a book called Sharia, the Threat to America. And there's some really well-known people. There's about 15 of them. It's called the Center for Security Policy. It was published in 2010. And the purpose of the book was to tell us as Americans that there is all types of efforts to incorporate Sharia law into our nation. It's my understanding in Minnesota, I believe it is, that they actually have a city that is completely governed by Sharia law now. But their goal, and here's what they say. What is Sharia? In all practical terms, Sharia includes all the do's and don'ts of Islam. In other words, Sharia is held by mainstream Islamic authorities, not to be confused with radical extremist or political elements, said to operate at the fringes of Islam. In other words, I want you to get this point. The concept in Islam of having Sharia law is not a fringe concept. It's not a concept that the moderates don't believe in. It's not a concept that only the radical terrorists believe in. It's not a concept that only ISIS believes in. It is a concept that is held by all Muslims. Okay? To be the perfect expression of divine will and justice, and thus is the supreme law that must be comprehensively govern all aspects of Muslim lives. So if there is a Muslim kingdom at the end, right before Jesus Christ returns, what's going to be their law of the kingdom? Sharia law. And it already is, and I'll give you some examples of things you've heard in the news that a result of Sharia law and why those things have happened. I'll give you one example. You remember the beautiful young woman that had a child? And they claimed that she had renounced her Islamic faith and therefore she was sentenced to death. You remember that? There was some outrage over that. I believe she was in the Sudan. That's not unusual. That's the law. That's Sharia law. It's a complete way of life. Social, cultural, military, religious, and political are governed from the cradle to the grave by Islamic law. In other words, their point that they're trying to make is that Islamic law is what? It's the only law. And if you're Muslim, you are to be governed by that law, contrary to all other laws. You clear? This is from the same book. Sharia is moreover a doctrine that mandates the rule of Allah over all aspects of society. Specifically, in contrast and fundamentally at odds with the Jeffersonian principles of religious freedom. Sharia holds that God did not create the mind free. Now I want you to think about something. We spent over $1 trillion in Iraq and Afghanistan. What was our goal in Iraq? We wanted them, right, David? We wanted them to be a democracy like us, right? Same thing in Libya. It ain't going to happen. The whole culture and mindset is not that. The culture and mindset is what? Sharia law governs. And there is no other law other than that law, and we only give credence to Allah and His law. Are you with me? Democracies do not matter. In fact, I'll point that out in a second. Democracies, in fact, are evil. They did not create the mind free, but in subservience to the will of Allah, as detailed in Sharia. Who knows what Islam means, by the way? What's the meaning? Submit. Submission is what Islam means. And the condition of the human beings is submission to Allah, not freedom. So if you love freedom, you are at opposite ends of those who don't love freedom, who want to submit to the will of Allah. You okay? What are the provisions of Sharia? Now, I know you've heard some of the things. I'm going to give you a number. And by the way, I want to tell you that I have not sent the notes out because every week I change them. Well, I do. I go home and I study all day on Saturday and I add to them. And all of a sudden that 5-minute lesson becomes an hour. And when I get through in 2, 3, 4, 5 more weeks, I will send them to you. All right, Janet. Really? Right. Because they practice what? Well, he practices the deception. We'll give you a clue, right? Lucy's saying, duh. That's Lucy. Anyway, I'm going to give you the provisions. This is going to take me a while because I want to spend some time on the first one. This might be a 2-week lesson, but we'll see. The first concept of Sharia law is abrogation. Abrogation. What does abrogation mean? Well, first of all, you need to realize that you're not qualified and I'm not qualified really to understand the laws of Sharia or Islam. Did you know that? That only those who read the Arabic in its original language and the original Quran are equipped in order to interpret what it says. Okay? So you're too stupid to understand. So am I. But we're going to try to muddle through it and show you some of the stuff. Well, what does abrogation mean? Well, this is a key term in the study of the Quran. There are some peaceful, tolerant verses in the Quran, but the violent, intolerant ones have abrogated them. What does that mean? They cancel them. In other words, and one of the problems is the Quran is not in chronological order unless you're qualified to know when they were written. But the earlier verses can be canceled by the later verses. All right? But the Quran itself explains what to do with conflicting verses because they have a lot of conflicts. If two passages conflict, it says the one written later is better than the one written earlier. The earlier passage has been abrogated to the later one. Now, how does that impact us on a day-to-day basis when you're listening to your news? And a guy comes on and he says, the Quran says that we are a religion of peace. Hold on. The bad news for non-Muslims that is that all peaceful passages were written earlier, and the intolerant, hateful, and violent ones were written later. Back up a little bit. Islam believes that it is the final revelation of God. Muhammad received it between 610 and 632 B.C., a period of 22 years. What? He spoke, yeah, but he received the vision about it. Patty? He taught him what to write. Okay. All right. So the clarification is, and it's perfectly correct to correct me, the clarification is that he didn't write, he was illiterate. That he wouldn't allow anything to be written according to Patty. Until who was our star today, so we'll take her word. After he died. Okay? But what they believe is important to understand. They believe that Moses was a prophet. They call him Musa. And they believe Jesus was a prophet. They call him Isa. All right? But they were just prophets who advanced the revelation. It wasn't until Muhammad came along and he got his revelation that was the final revelation. I guess they just don't pay attention to the Mormons. They got a revelation too, right? And they consider their revelation to be what? The final revelation, until somebody else comes up with a revelation. Well, you get those, you sit on a mountain and go, And God gives you, like Buddha, 40 days, You reach nirvana. Or some silly stuff like this. But the reality is, you need to understand and grasp that they believe in what's called progressive revelation. What does that mean? It can change. And what they say is, the last change is the last change. There are no more changes. There ain't no next one, according to them. That's it. All right? Now, so when that guy on TV says, well, we are moderate and peaceful religion, I think our president said that, right? That we don't believe in this hateful, violent stuff that isn't taught in the Quran. What's he doing to you? He's lying to you because the later verses basically say that they kill the infidel. I'll give you some more of that in a minute. Here is the actual quote from the Quran, realizing I don't read Arabic. Whatever of our revelations we repeal or cause to be forgotten, we will replace them with something superior and comparable. So we have a revelation, but this is better. Right? Do you not know that Allah has power over all things? He can change his mind, I guess. Do you not know that Allah reigns sovereign over the heavens and the earth? And besides him, you have no protector or helper. Would you question your messenger as Moses was questioned in his time? Those who engage their faith for disbelief have gone astray from the right path. When we exchange one verse for another and Allah knows best what he reveals, they say, you are making this up. That's true. It's exactly what we say. What's their answer? We don't understand. If you don't read Arabic, if you don't understand, then you really can't grasp what's going on. But here's the important point. Abrogation says that you can say one thing which is not truthful, that is right out of the Quran, and you can prove it out of the Quran, but you better know when the later verse came. Because if the later verse says, kill the infidel, and the earlier verse says, we're peaceful, the answer is what? Kill the infidel. Yes, Tammy. It's my understanding. It's the scholar. The scholar who's the one who knows the order. They basically believe on this concept, yes. Yeah. That's hard to understand. I mean, it basically says what? You have no ability to do what? Understand what you're reading. Unless what? We had that in Christianity, didn't we? We called it the Dark Ages because we were told as believers that we were not qualified to interpret the Word of God, that we had to have a priest tell us what to believe regarding the Scriptures. And how screwed up did they get? Pretty screwed up. But you understand, we had the same thing. Nobody's competent to interpret it except for the priest who's been trained. And then the Reformation came along. And then somebody happened to read in the Bible where Jesus said, and I'll give you the Spirit of truth and he'll lead you into all truth. You remember that? We have a built-in interpreter, a built-in tutor, a built-in teacher. So when you hear me speak, if I say something that's not biblically correct, you have the freedom to say, Chuck, you're screwed up. That's not right. And you've been known to do that on many, several occasions. Anyway. Yeah, Richard. Richard says that he actually heard a Catholic priest say that we as lay people should not even read the Bible. We should leave that to the priest to tell us what it means. Scholars. Boy, would we be in bad shape. Yeah, Tracy. Oh, yes. Right. Which he killed. Right. Right. You're exactly right. I read that yesterday, that the Mecca verses are the peaceful verses, the Medina verses, maybe that helps, Tammy. I'm not sure when they took place. But, yeah, he tried to kill everybody, all the Jews, tried to wipe them out of the Arabian Peninsula. Yes, Carl. Okay. And they don't know what they're telling you. We got some Christians like that, don't we? Yeah. When speaking with people of Christianized Western societies, this is from Islam Review, articles on Quran doctrine, Muslim activists deliberately, listen closely, hide a major Islamic doctrine called Al-Nasikh wal-Mansukh. Sounds good. Yeah, I bet you can't do better. The abrogator and the abrogated. This simply means that in the situations where verses contradict one another, the earlier verses are overridden by the later verses. The chronological timing in which a verse was written determines its authority to establish policies within Islam. Non-Muslims cannot afford to be ignorant about the full implications of abrogator and abrogated doctrine. When Islamic spokesmen say that Islam is a religion of peace and that the Quran does not support such things as human rights infractions, gender bias, and terrorism, they are lying. They're pretty straightforward. This means that the Western politicians and liberal journalists who continually spout that Islam is a noble religion of peace are in reality propagating the deception that they've been deceived into parroting. I know. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. You're both bought in. Let's look at the second. You got this provision of Sharia? So what does that say to you? Number one, you have the concept of taqiyya, which means you can lie or deceive. Number two, your later verses cancel out your earlier verses. How are you going to find the truth? It's impossible. Prologue. I don't remember. I don't know that. Maybe Tracy knows that. Do you know? I think they all came in that 22-year period. Hadith, which is a later book. They have four books. Interpretive material. Adultery in Islam is 100 lashes. And I said or death. It's actually and death. I was rereading it this morning to get ready. So you commit adultery, you're what? You're whipped and killed. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. I heard that. Jose? Luis? Women don't matter much, let me tell you. Right? Number three, apostasy. Apostates, those who leave, are to be killed wherever they're found. That's the law. Number four, democracy cannot coexist with Islam. You remember that deal I put up, the slide that says we believe in American democracy and all that? Not in Sharia law. Democracy is evil because you need the law that submits you to the law of what? Islam. Allah. Okay? They do not recognize democracy. That's why they had such a hard time in places like Iraq and Libya and so forth, trying to institute democracy. It just simply is not going to work. Female circumcision and male circumcision is required. It's not optional. David, I'm going to pass on that one, and it ain't a good thing. Okay. It ain't good, I hear. Huh? Gender inequality. It is hard to understand. Testimony of a woman is worth one half of that of a man. One half. Well, that's right. They talk twice as much, Tony. So maybe that'll equal out. Whoa! Yeah, I'm not going over you today. Anyway. Their inheritance is one half of a man. They only get half. You can be beaten and sexually abused in Islam as a woman by your husband, by the way. Marin can marry up to four wives. And as Tom said, that's not actually true. It's just they've kind of limited it. But what you see going on in ISIS today, where they're killing the children, crucifying the children, killing, hanging the husbands, and taking the women, they can have as many women as they want. Can marry what? Four wives. Okay. 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 So they can have four wives and as many concubines as they want. Well, the best way to call a concubine might be a mistress or a girlfriend. You know, you can have four wives and a girlfriend. I'm telling you what, you'd be nuts to have four wives. I can't keep up with the one I got. So. Yeah. Preach on. Who would want four wives? Always bothered me that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends, concubines. You'd like to come home from work. You'll get your credit card bill. Come on. Women cannot marry a non-Muslim. Period. They may not travel without a male guardian. Burden of rape? Listen to this one. This is just unbelievable. You have to have four male witnesses to prove that you have been raped. And they have to be four men of integrity. So if you just think about that. Four of them are going to see you being raped and let you get raped?
They're all liars.
There's no. Do you understand? And basically what it does is it makes the woman who admits that or tells somebody that she's been raped, but she has no four witnesses, that she in fact is guilty of adultery and therefore should be lashed and killed. Think about that. I don't know if they can marry non-Muslims or not. I guess they can. Okay. What, let Tracy? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. Remarriage, if you get divorced, you don't get to keep your children. This one is gonna really get you. Yes, Ed. Okay. We move away from the biblical pattern. Exactly. Yeah, you can end up with this kind of stuff. Mormons have? Yeah, well, they, yeah. Jimmy? To woe do what? Sure. Sure. Exactly. They don't believe in democracy, even though they may be leaders in our democracy. This one is going to get you. Have you heard of this? This is in the Sharia law. It's called an honor killing. There is no penalty for killing your children or your grandchildren. There was a cab driver from Pakistan in Dallas. I can't remember both daughters. Killed Amina and their other daughter. because they refused to marry the people he wanted them to marry. This was at Dobie. Some girl converted to Christianity and then she was found dead in her house. Okay. That's an honor killing. One thing that's important to Islam is honor from their, the way they see it. I mean, their honor is at stake. And if you, as a child, get westernized, you don't dress right, you listen to the wrong music, they can kill you without penalty. The children are subject to the parents. And not only the children, but the grandchildren. Can you imagine a religion that teaches that? It's just beyond me. This is an example. For example, this is one I was talking about. I forgot I had a slide on. The Texas-born and raised Syed sisters, Amina and Sarah, refused to marry Egyptian men as their Egyptian cab father, Yasser, wanted them to do, and he killed them for it. Canadian Indian Jaswinder Kaur refused to marry the man her mother had chosen for her, instead married someone she loved. Her widowed mother and maternal uncle had her killed in India. And they've been fighting extradition from Canada for more than a decade. Honor killing is to me, is just reprehensible. Nothing to do with Christianity or Israel. Hudud punishments, what does that mean? It means that there is no waiver. In other words, if you go to court and you've committed a crime and the judge looks at all your circumstances and based on your circumstances and who you are and whether you're remorseful or repentant or whatever, even in a federal court today, that will give you a little bit of credit on your sentence. And he can decide that he's either not going to give you probation or take mercy on you or whatever. There is no mercy in Islam. It's called hudud punishments. There's no communications or waiver. It must be carried out. All right. Sharia stipulates those punishments and methods of execution, such as amputation, crucifixion, flogging, and stoning for offenses such as adultery, homosexuality, killing without right, theft, and spreading mischief in the land. Islamic supremacism means that it is superior to all. No other society, no other religion comes even close. It is superior to everything and should be the rule of law and the thing that all society is governed by. Christian hatred. Muhammad wiped out the entire Jewish population in the Arabian Peninsula, which Tracy was talking about a while ago. Jim Hastings was telling me yesterday, or Friday, that Muhammad originally converted to Judaism, but they threw him out after a year. And then they converted to Christianity, and they threw him out of that because he was so, I don't know, to reprobate, that he, in fact, got so angry at the Jews that he just wiped them out. Jihad means, and we've talked about that, that the valid way to advance the cause of Islam is through jihad. And they will tell you on the news that jihad is a personal, inner, spiritual seeking of peace. Have you heard that? Do you know what it really is? Kill the infidel and take over for the world. Jihad used to be one of the six requirements to be saved as a Muslim. They sort of modified that in the last 30 or 40 years, but some of those really believe in it. And it's believed that if you die, either as a martyr in terrorism or you die killing somebody, trying to kill somebody who's an infidel, you immediately go to heaven and you get 72 virgins. And I'm not going to explain that either. Now, all I know is there's a whole lot more women than men there. I talked about taqiyya and lying, slander and blasphemy. Anything that might offend a Muslim, notice the last phrase, even if it's true, which would make me what? I'm in big trouble. Big trouble. I don't know why I tape these. This one will get you. Underage marriage. There's no minimum age for a marriage contract. And for the consummation of a marriage, you can marry an 8 or a 9-year-old. Right, prologue? It is true. All right, prologue says many Saudis go to India to get their 10-year-old brides to bring them back. Zakat. One of the 5 requirements of Islam in order to be safe for the poor and needy, and you can only give to a Muslim. In other words, if a non-Muslim is starving or whatever, you would say what? It's the will of Allah. We give our money only to Muslims. How would you like to live under this law? We just covered some of it. Yes, prolong. 2.5%. 2.5%, yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable, isn't it? These provisions. But understand that those provisions are what they want as far as their legal system because they believe it's of a divine origin. When we think that God has said back in Daniel 7:25 that he will intend to change the times and the laws, I think this is what he's talking about. This law is reprehensible compared to God's laws. Is it not? Contrary to God's laws in every age. Well, it may have been where he got that, but God did tell him to take out all the Amalekites, all their children and everything. Do you know why he did that? Huh? Yeah, even the animals. What was the problem? He said that the iniquity of the Amalekites and the Amorites is not yet full, right? What did that mean? Here's what I'll leave you with, cheerful thought. Is it possible for a society to become so utterly corrupt that they're beyond redemption? Well, God didn't. Why didn't he want them to intermarry? Yeah. What did they do? Well, they didn't wipe them out, so what happened? What happened to Solomon? No, it's Saul. Solomon married a bunch of heathen women and started worshiping their gods. That's one of the toughest challenges for somebody to answer apologetically, but it's also confidence in our Lord that he knows absolutely what he's doing. But I do believe, and I believe we're closely reaching that point, particularly in the Middle East, where society has become so corrupt that absent God's intervention through dreams and visions and the spreading of the Word of God, that they will not change. God calls the Antichrist the lawless one. Well, we are getting pretty bad, aren't we? But we still have a lot of Christians in this country. Then that lawless one will be revealed. Notice God calls him the lawless one. He changes the laws, but he says he's lawless. Why? I believe because he's contrary to God's law. And the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring it to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception and wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, and that they will believe what is false, in order that they would be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Yeah, Jim. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know what happened, but Muhammad definitely was not a righteous man. Let's put it that way. Ken? Right. That's exactly right. Thank you for bringing that up. But you're right. And what he said was that from God's perspective, anybody can be redeemed. And that is true. In fact, in Muslim countries, the way people are coming to Christ, because you can't go over there and share the gospel, because they'll what? They'll kill you. So how's God getting around that? He shows up in dreams and visions. And I have actually met some that have come to Christ that way. Peggy? I agree. Peggy says we should pray for the children that are being beheaded in Muslim countries, especially in ISIS. Listen, people, this is not games. This is life, and we are moving quickly, I believe, to where you will see a kingdom. What do you think the Bible teaches about the tribulation, and what kind of kingdom is that? In Daniel chapter 7, it says that it's a beast that he can't even describe. It's so horrible. And that it crushes and stamps down and kills. The next sign is Babylon. We'll talk about next week. And I'm sorry we're running over, but the next week we'll talk about Babylon. Her main thing that John saw when he saw the harlot of Babylon was the blood she had in her cup from the people they had killed. And they literally believe that you kill everybody who doesn't believe like you do. Richard, you're the last one. Is it due to the lessening of the Holy Spirit's influence? It wouldn't be the lessening of the Holy Spirit's influence. It would be the unwillingness of the believers to follow the Spirit, in my view. The Spirit is working hard. And He will continue even after when we leave. He'll go with us. But I just hope, I'm trying to teach you the truth as I see it from the Scripture. If it's wrong, forgive me. If we meet in heaven on Wednesday, we'll discuss it. Y'all have a good week.